I welcome to this poster session, Cytogenic Intervention in Diverse Settings. I'm Geeta Boardman, I'm from Finland, and my topics, research topics, is assets in people, society, and so on. I hope my internet is going to be stable. Yesterday, my internet company informed me that they are going to do some service on this area today or tomorrow. So this virtual world, I really prefer this face-to-face, but perhaps next time we have a conference, we are going to have this face-to-face so we are not lost in the virtual world. We are going to keep this time 3 minutes per presentation, so that we have the time to discuss later or after the presentations. So you can start. Yaroslav, is that the correct pronunciation? But you can start to share your screen. You are mute.
Okay. I hope you can see my screen. Can you see? No?
No, we can't see your screen.
Give me a second. Share screen. Yeah.
Yes.
And now? Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Only proper. All right, so the story is very simple. During the pandemic, we were in Poland 4 weeks into the lockdown. So we decided to propose to employees of the staff of the university and students some simple activities, health promoting activities. So we offered joining this project or program via email, and 134 person volunteered to join this project, and we randomized the whole group to 4 different interventions. And we also tried to verify hypotheses that gratefulness or gratitude practice will be especially good or useful in this context. And so one intervention was practicing gratitude. Second intervention was, maybe you saw this TED talk of Amy Cuddy, Power Postures. Yeah, we treated it as an active control group in our study. The third was just mental activity, reminding oneself or imagining that we are all together in it, this connectedness with other people in this difficult situation, and also expressing the wish, may we learn, may we discover our inner strength, thanks to these difficulties, and so on. So just reframe a bit this thinking and feeling about this situation. And the fourth group was, you can choose whatever you want. You can mix it. It's all up to you. Due to ethical concerns, we didn't design the passive control group, because these people volunteered to our project. We didn't want to give them nothing, any opportunity, and no opportunity to do something. And concerning the results, our study doesn't prove that any of these activities were better for our participants. Different interventions, there was no significant statistically significant differences between this intervention groups, but we discovered something very interesting, that the level, initial level from the first measurement, because we during this 9 months, we took two internet surveys concerning sense of coherence, level of gratitude, and some info about subjective well-being, health, psychological health, about physical health, and also the quality of sleep. And we discovered that this initial level of gratitude was, as you can see, connected with retention, that more grateful people stayed in the program and were using whatever the activity was proposed, they were using it more often and longer. So the idea to check it out in the future is maybe gratitude practice is a good supplement to other activities. For example, if someone sets goals concerning the physical activity, increasing physical activity, maybe supplementing it with zero cost, very flexible and simple intervention like gratitude practice will help to stick to the goals. Yeah. So that's all. If you have some questions, I will be glad to. I try to answer them. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Do we have any questions? No questions. I have one.
I have.
All right.
Merita, you can go.
Okay. I thank you for the presentation and also greetings to all of you. I think very interesting study. I was wondering, since we are here at in Kosovo at the University of Pristina last year, we did mainly a top-down approach, mainly centralizing activities and then implementing to the field. But I was wondering, in this case of Poland, do you think of repeating the study and comparing it with other periods, not only lockdown period, but also other periods?
Yeah, it's a good idea, but we, honestly, we rather plan to check this hypothesis about usefulness of gratitude practice as a supplement to other health promoting activities to support adherence. Oh, that's the word. We'll check it out if it supports adherence. But the problem in our study was a huge attrition rate, yeah? Only 30%, less even a bit than 30% of participants stayed in this study. So maybe if you would like to repeat this design, or maybe a bit change, we can collaborate, yeah, and repeat it in Łódź on our university and in Kosovo. It would be great, yeah, because it's quite simple and you can collect data through Gmail forms or something like that. It's easy to collect this data. I don't know if we have time, but I also have a question to you, if I may.
We can take it afterwards.
All right, thank you.
Yes. We, for the time now, so to the next presentation, the salutogenic approach in environmental health and one health concept. Do we have Migeon with us? You can stop sharing your screen, Jaroslav. No, Migeon. No. Then we have this physical activity and happiness findings from the UAE Healthy Future pilot study. Aisha,
yes.
Your
yes.
turn.
Okay. All right. Are you able to see my screen?
Yes, we are.
Okay, wonderful. So my name is Aisha Al-Hamis, and I'm from the New York University of Abu Dhabi. We did a study called the UAE Healthy Future Study. It is a cohort longitudinal study, and this is results from the pilot study, which is about 500 people were invited, age of 18 and above. Physical activity and happiness are both very, very important. One, happiness is very important for individuals, for societies, and often it is an indicator for society's well-being. We also have physical activity, which is a modifiable risk factor. And we see that evidences and other cohort studies and as well as randomized controlled studies, findings that has been associated with positive mental health and well-being. So the study really, studies also showed that, you know, the more physical activity and volume, the more you see happiness in adults and young adults. And really the aim of this research study was to see what's the relationship between physical activity and happiness. And we took a cohort of about 291 people who participated and who answered the questionnaire. And the data was collected between September and April, September 2014 to April 2015 in one of the cities. And really we measured happiness using, you know, happy or not happy. We dichotomized them, but they were in many levels. So very happy, extremely happy, very happy, and then moderately happy, and then unhappy, the three levels. So we found really very interesting results. So we found that the happiness level increased every time you increase the physical activity volume. So the more physical activity, the more hours you spend in physical activity. And it didn't really matter what type of physical activity you did, but as long as you are doing physical activity, the more the better for your happiness levels. And of course, you and in very active people, we saw 97.3% who reported feeling happy. And this was a very interesting finding we had from the individuals who rated the general state of health. So we used we used the IPAC questionnaire for questions on physical activity. And we used the general happiness for, how would you rate your health? And really people who responded and said excellent and good were actually the ones who reported feeling happy. And of course we can see as well positive relationships between the positive mental health and actually interactions with friends and social interactions. This was a very important finding as well. And we saw that, you know, people who did go out and engage in social activities 2 to 3 times a week were actually reported feeling a little bit more happier. But although it wasn't significant, the difference, but we did see that they reported happy. We see here as well from the findings, you can see that promoting healthy behavior is actually a very appealing to society when we associate it with happiness and positive outcomes, because people are more interested to know that the physical activity is something that is a positive sort of well-being, promoting their it's cost effective as well, so people can you know, do physical activity about anywhere. And also it's a method of physical activity is really all about prolonging life, preventing disease and disability. And of course, we saw that, you know, we need to do more qualitative and quantitative work to understand happiness and physical activity and its associations together.
Okay, thank you for that. Any questions?
Yes, yes, please.
Hello, hi.
David, yes.
Hello. Yeah, that was really interesting. And I do think it's really interesting to think about how that links potentially into meaningfulness and whether that started to become the drive for people who were undertaking these physical activities, if they then had something particularly meaningful in their lives to focus on. Did you look into that at all? What, how that, or will that be further studies?
So during this study itself, you know, the quality of life, you mean the quality of life that was gained out of physical activity was not a metric that was in the questionnaire built in methodology, but for sure it's very important to do and to study as well and to understand the quality of mental health and the quality of well-being that we're talking about. Absolutely.
It is, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because certainly, you know, Antonovsky talked about meaningfulness as the drive to do, didn't he? And I think that strengthened through the years he wrote. And I do think when people find something like this, then it becomes a driver in itself. It would be really interesting to kind of look further into that, because that then links to significant improvements in health promoting activities potentially.
Absolutely, I agree completely. And yeah, we will look into it for sure.
That's really interesting, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. And then go to the next one, and that will be me. Now we'll see if I... This is the presentation about about Beyond the River, picture sock with the rug. Do you hear that voice?
It's a little bit of a voice, yes, but not so bad.
Okay.
We can hear you much better.
Yeah, it's okay.
I take a new share moment. Oh, this technical. I really prefer this. Now I also have a dog that is starting to okay, but I think we do like this. I share. Do you hear the dog? Perhaps he is trying to present my presentation.
Very hello to Jeanette. It's okay.
He's having a ball on the wrong place. I think I do it like this if you see it. I had this pre-recorded, but I think I skip it. But you see the screen now. Yes. Human life, you can explain as a rug. When we are born, we start to weave our rug, and we do that until we die. And Since I read The Mystery of Health with Aaron Antonovsky, I have developed this this rug of life, and I've been placing these SOC components into it. And then I have been combining the rug with Erickson Ellingstrom's Health in the River, that anchors the rug of life to the salutogenic theory. He's really salutogenic, that dog. Excuse me. Having the rug in life in my research was an experimental test, resulting in an interesting new tool to the in-depth interviews. And after the main interview, the participants, they got a white paper where they drew and colored the rug of life. They basically explained their life story in a visual form. And in another occasion, the participants made their rug with nature materials, and that was also quite interesting. Here are some examples of them, the rugs. And as the participant colored the rug, they explained what had happened in each phase of life and why they choose specific color. And also with this nature material, they explain why they just pick that flower and that leaf and that color. And they met this with the natural material, they explained it afterwards. They did it in silence, the rugs and nature material, but after this explained why. Combining words and picture may give a different view of thoughts and may give the unconscious a picture. And the picture can represent the text or not. To combine in-depth interviews with the rug may give another view of resources that humans have. Yes, it the rug makes the unconscious visible in another way that the text you write and the words you are speaking. Thank you. Sorry for my dog. I stop share so I can see you. Any questions? I had, yeah, Paola.
Hi, Gita. Thank you for your presentation. It's it appealed me a lot to me. I would like if you can share the study, because I see that you have used colors
on yes. it.
And well, one of the projects that I made is also based on colors. And I would like, well, mine is related to nutrition and to related to gastronomy experience, but I would like to know, if there is any relationship with the colors that they used in the rug, in the meaning of the colors. Personally, I do a lot of personal research with the unconscious and also with drawing and colors. So I would love to connect, to explore a little bit more further.
Yes, we have to do it after here, because I think we have really a lot to talk about. So can you write your email in the chat so I can copy it, and then we can discuss more. My research is a monograph, my PhD, and it's in Swedish. So I have an article submitted. So I hope it will be accepted. Then it's there also. That's in English. So, but we are continuing.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Really nice. I'm really going on here with that. Next, we have this embodied salutogenesis and mentalizing salutogenesis. Elia, yeah, are you here with us? Yes. Elia. Yes.
Should I share my screen? Yeah.
Yes, you share your screen, and I got your mail. But if you will speak,
can you see?
Okay. Yes, we see it. Yeah. And now I'm going to put on mute, and I'm going to take down the dog.
It's a beautiful music for my ears. No worries about it. I'm a medical doctor and a biodynamic psychotherapist. And I will present kind of in a very, very short time, a very, very long-term work with 6 long-term clients case study. All of them I suffer from complex post-traumatic stress disorder, i.e. childhood trauma. And this means that during the childhood, they internalize a not good enough environment, which somehow create a representations of this is life. Yes, it's just life is not something good. Now, this group of highly traumatized individuals had a belief system which they don't deserve to enjoy life, not to live. Many of them, also thought that they will die in a very early age. And even when salutogenetic intervention were available, they could not access it. Like it was like a continuation of the trauma. Now, in biodynamic psychotherapy is a salutogenetic approach, and we work a lot with what we call the emotional vasomotoric cycle. That is an allostasis system, which means that the biology, the emotions, everything is working together. The whole person is all the time related. This means that we're working not just with talking, but also with movement, with voice, with breathing, with physical activity, anything that is accessible for the client. We work also a lot with attuned touch, when we actually using biofeedback from the body in order to be able to attune our work in a very, very specific way. And this is really a many time necessity because traumatic memories are often dissociated and made inaccessible to verbal recall or processing. Now, what's happened that through this work, people started to change the perceptions, the physical perception. They could see things that they could not see before and experience in the body things they did not experience before. And what I brought here is actually a few very transformative moments that they had. Just a moment, I was trying to read it. Okay, for example, this particular first client where it actually was a graphic designer, and she one day just came into my room and said, "Oh, Elia, you colored your room in pink." And I said, "Well, the walls were always pink, but this is the first time you can see it." The second case study is a person that is a musician and a clinical psychologist, actually a doctorate in psychology also. He used to play an instrument in an orchestra. And she used to say that actually when she could hear in the beginning just her own instrument, then when we started therapy, she could hear the low basses. And now she could actually hear all the spectrum of the frequencies of all the orchestra, which was quite an incredible experience. Another person said, "I look at myself in the mirror and I see myself in a way that I've never seen before. I know how to move my life." And this, again, what we can see here is a change in perceptions of the self and the society, which actually after those experiences, they could actually access salutogenetic intervention. Because somehow they had to fix what we called a prediction error, that life actually can be good and it is possible. I really want to end with a client. Actually, I worked with her for a few years and I just spoke with her 2 days ago. And she said, I'm aware of my body, that I'm aware that my body is in a stressful situation. And actually you can use my body as a resource and my breathing as a resource, not to develop and to avoid panic attack.
Thank you. We have 1 minute left. We probably is going to be thrown out after 1 minute, but this should be a much longer time for these presentations because it's also the time you have some question and you want to discuss, but perhaps in some other occasion we are going to be able to do that. And I thank you very, very much for the presentations. And now 2 o'clock, Avishai is going to present the story about Aaron Antonovsky. So So thank you very, very much. I'll see you in the next conference or in some other occasions. Yes, and there in this chat you see something, and Claudia, yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, we are still here. So maybe I will, Elia, I just reminded, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, now you have the time.
I just reminded, probably it's a Peter Levine, yeah, said that everybody has resources. Yeah, this story of the last client of yours reminded me this.
Yes, Peter Levine is a body psychotherapist, was trained in the end of the 40s and very, very famous. But it is his part, all his work is a body psychotherapy. We added to what we have also the aspects of touch in a particular ways in biodynamic psychotherapy, but it's definitely a common ground in body psychotherapy. But Peter Levine is talk about it. Excellent writer and trainer too. I didn't learn with him, but I've been in a few workshops with him.
Elia, do you use Feldenkrais for to improve perception of the self through movements?
Then classically, use of Feldenkrais is more typical to Hakomi. That is a very particular one of body psychotherapy in Germany. I myself do use also Feldenkrais, but it's not classically part of the work in biodynamic. I use also a lot of touch to change posture. And many times with clients, I bring whatever they can. Sometimes I work with the touch in one side, change the posture that holds the trauma, and also the Feldenkrais. But not everyone can actually able to move into action, even not on the level of Feldenkrais. Yes, so those people are much more suitable to work on hands-on work. To first just enable this movement of liveliness in their self, then they can move into more active physical activity or use it as a cytogenetic possibility. I mean, I myself doing 40 years for Feldenkrais.
Really wonderful.
Started in the age of 14, and I think.
Maybe actually, last week, no, this week I saw the movie, I don't know if you know about it, The Wisdom of Trauma with Gabor Maté. Yes, and I recommend it very much because, well, it's about trauma. And well, I found it very, very interesting related to your presentation also. So yeah. Thank you.
I met Gabor when I was presenting in Boston in Basil van der Kolk conference a few times. It's amazing speaker.
Yes, yes.
Great, any other question now that we have?
Now we have, we did it, they didn't throw us out. So now we can discuss if you don't want to hear.
Okay, but maybe they started.
So we need to
thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
See you.